who forgives all of our sins, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you in your power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The gathering song is Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, number 310.
Thank you.
love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
I am not adventuresome, so we will be speaking the Kyrie and the Canticle of Praise. In the peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for this glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you anointed Jesus at his baptism with the Holy Spirit, and revealed him as your beloved Son. Keep all who are born of water and the Spirit faithful in your service, that we may rejoice to be called children of God through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Here's the word.
First reading is from the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. By now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. I do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, and ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory in you God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of the God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees, and the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the oak trees rise and strips the forest bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, Glory!
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forevermore.
O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace. The second reading is from the 8th chapter of Acts. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3, 15, 17, 21 through 22.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As for the people were filled with expectations, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah. John answered all of them by saying, I baptized you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in the hand to be clear his threshold floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased. Here ends the reading.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Okay. So this was supposed to be recorded, so you get to have me be pastor, and I'm going to read what she has written. So bear with me. This is could get a little bit muddied, and I don't quite sound like her. So, in January 2019, I traveled to the Holy Land as part of a class through the Lutheran Seminary. The group consisted of about 30 people, students, some spouses, a Lutheran Seminary professor, and two rabbis. We were at times tourists and at other times pilgrims. We listened to lectures, explored the marketplaces, visited holy sites, and talked to Jews and Christians about the joys and difficulties of living and working in Israel and Palestine. During that time, I had several experiences that I would call holy. Here are just a few. Praying at the Western Wall. Hearing the eternal nature of the acoustics of the Church of St. Anne when someone started singing Amazing Grace. And visiting the Jordan River. Although I count visiting the Jordan River among my holy encounters, it was not the experience I had imagined it would be. The plan had been that our group would gather at the river for reaffirmation of baptism. However, the day we visited was an Orthodox holy day, and the crowd was enormous. I spoke with the people at the information desk who said that usually there are only 5 or 6 buses in the parking lot. Instead of 5 or 6 busloads of people, there were thousands gathered at the Jordan River that day. People dressed in elaborate outfits, some simple white garments in the Jordan River baptism souvenir gowns, or regular street attire filled the waiting area that led down to the river. Only 50 people were being allowed down at one time, and when the barricade opened, people pushed and shoved their way through. I was able to get in with 3 other members of our class only because we positioned ourselves so that we could shove back into the crowds before moving forward. It was not a holy moment. We got down to the river, had a brief ceremony, put our toes in the water, filled our containers, watched people being baptized, and eyed the men who were guarding the ropes bordering the separation between Israel and Jordan. The holy moment occurred a little later when the class gathered above the river next to the sign warning that the land mines just beyond the fence. We stood in view of churches that were begun but will never be completed. next to a minefield and prayed. It was when we started singing, when people passed us by joining into our song, that I felt I was on holy ground. It caused me to contemplate what makes a place holy. Places can be holy because people say they are holy, whether or not Jesus was born at a place marked by the Church of the Nativity, or whether or not his crucifixion body was resting in a place honored by the Church of the Holy Speculae. People have declared them to be holy places, but any place can become holy when people have an opportunity to connect with one who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer, even if that place is just a bit of ground next to a minefield. I went to the Jordan River with certain expectations. So did those in today's gospel lesson who gathered at the Jordan River to be baptized. I was looking for an encounter with the holy. They were looking for the long-awaited Messiah. For me, the crowds got in the way of what I had been expecting. My entire group gathered together at the river, stepping into it and plunging into it as we chose, feeling the water in our skin, hearing the words of our baptism being reaffirmed. They were expecting a Messiah who would then become, as John described, one with a winnowing fork in his hand, ready for harvest, gathering the wheat together into the granary and burning the chaff with unquenchable fire. In both cases, our experiences did not match our expectations. Instead of the entire class gathering together at the water, we had to push and shove our way through the crowd for a few moments before relinquishing our spot so that others could come down. For those who flocked to the fire and brimstone preacher who spoke of baptism and repentance for the forgiveness of sin, who offered them baptism in the waters of the Jordan, they wondered if the Messiah had come at last. John heard their murmurings and told them that while he baptized with water, the one who was coming would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. John is not the one they had hoped he would be, but neither is Jesus, for he did not come with an army to free the lands from oppression from the Roman Empire. He came bringing a different kind of freedom. He gathered a different kind of harvest, not just of Jews, but of all who believed in him, and his message of repentance and reconciliation. What he destroys is not the oppressors and oppression of the empire, but of oppression of sin, breaking the bondage that is sin he has over otherwise would consign to unquenchable fire. The baptism offered by John was not the same as Christian baptism, which requires baptisms in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It was, however, a baptism of preparation for what was coming, a leaving behind of the old and taking of the new. In Luke's Gospel, we are told that after all, the people have been baptized. Jesus, who has also been baptized, was praying. As he prayed, the heavens opened, and his Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like that of a dove. And the voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved, and with you I am well pleased. You are my child, you are beloved. With you I am well pleased." With these words ringing in his ears, Jesus began his public ministry. These words pair well with the confounding words on the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. "But now says the Lord, He who has created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. For I am the Lord your God, and the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my sight, and honored, I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you." These beautiful words were addressed collectively to God's chosen people, Israel. But I believe that they also hold true for those of us who have died and risen with Christ in the waters of baptism. In baptism, we encounter this holy. The baptismal font is a place where we connect with the one who created us and claimed us to be God's own dearly beloved one. It is where we connect with Jesus, our Redeemer, dying with him and rising with him in the baptismal waters. It is where we connect with the Holy Spirit, the one who sustains us as we live out our baptismal calling, to be part of God's creative mission to reconcile the world. In those waters, we are called by name and told by God that we are beloved and precious in God's eyes. We take on a new identity, for we are no longer children only in our earthly parents, but of children of God, the Creator of all things. It marks the start of our ministry, which is to live our lives according to our baptismal identity and as God's precious children living in community, we're other precious children of God. On this day, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, it is a good time to reflect on our own baptisms, especially on the promises that were made, or that our parents and godparents made in our behalf. In response to God's actions in baptism, our life is one of growth in the practices of discipleship. As it stands in the ELCA document, The Use of the Means of Grace, baptism inaugurates a life of discipleship in the death and resurrection of Christ. Baptism conforms us to the death and resurrection of Christ precisely so that we repent and receive forgiveness, love our neighbors, suffer for the sake of the gospel, and witness to Christ. In baptism, promises are made that we will live among God's faithful people, hear the word of God, and share the Lord's Supper. Proclaim the good news of God and Christ throughout word and deed. Serve all people following the examples of Jesus, and strive for justice and peace on this earth. In what way are we living out those promises? How are we participating in our community of faith? Are we diligent in our study of Scripture? Do we prepare our hearts to receive Christ when we share communion? Do we, through our words and actions, proclaim the good news of Christ in our homes, our workplaces, and our community? Do we find ways of service following the examples that Jesus gave us? How do we strive to bring justice and peace to this world? Are we growing as disciples? I hope to return to the Holy Land someday and perhaps experience a quieter, more meditative time at the Jordan River. But as I reflect on the January days 3 years ago, I think that God has something to say to me in a noisy, crowded riverbank, at a fence next to a minefield, that all places where God appears are holy ones, that all who encounter God in the waters of baptism, whether in a baptismal font, a pool, a muddy river, are God's dearly beloved ones. Let us pray. Creator God, in the waters of baptism, you call us by name and claim us as your beloved children, sending us out into the world as your disciples. Help us to see ourselves and one another as dearly beloved by you. Help us in this faith community to live out our baptismal promises faithfully, proclaiming the good news in word and deed, and serving all people following the examples of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, the promised Messiah. Amen. Okay, we will do the hymn of the day, The Morning Cry, on 732. Please stand. Thank you. Please join me for the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the Church, the world, and all that God has made. By the Holy Spirit, you gather your Church and send it out in mission to share the good news of Jesus. Inspire your faithful people to be fervent in prayer and service, that all people know they are precious in God's sight. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You reveal your love and power through the water of the Spirit. Guard rivers, seas, and all bodies of water from destruction and pollution. Secure access to clean water for all, and protect the land from drought and flood. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Establish among the nations the blessings of peace. Raise up leaders who will protect vulnerable people in their care. Strengthen advocates who risk reputation of retaliation for the sake of mercy and justice. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You protect us through the fires and troubled waters of life. Assure us that we will not be cut off from you by illness or despair, anxiety or pain, confusion or weakness. Comfort all who are in need, especially Alice, Kay, Julie and family, and for all those that you name in your heart. God of grace, we are joined in baptism to Christ and to one another. Bless those who are newly baptized and those who are preparing for baptism. Help us to be faithful in fellowship, worship, evangelism, service, and justice seeking. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You created each of your saints for your glory. We give thanks for those who have called by your name into eternal embrace. Comfort us in grief, and release us from fear. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Since we have such great hope in your promise, O God, we lift these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And so, as she always says, feel free to do what you feel comfortable with, whether it be, I can't remember exactly the symbol, or a peace sign with one another. In the offertory, once again, if you make them online or through bank drafts, every penny helps. We also have the plates, I believe, at the entrances of both sides of the church. If you are more inclined to do that route. So with that, we will do the offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart, 186. God. We rejoice in the birth of Jesus, who came among the poor to bring the riches of your grace. As you have blessed us with your gifts, let them be blessed for others. With the trees in the field, with all earth and heaven, we shout for joy at the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we say the Lord's Prayer. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen.
We will sing On Our Way Rejoicing, number 537.
Christ is with you.
Thanks be to God.